Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Now it is time to pivot, to become agents of change. Join us each week as we provide relevant content for the economic developers' pivot from reaction to renaissance. We believe that when leaders get stronger, communities thrive.
David, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to join us. I know you mentioned that you just got done with a virtual site consultant event, and I know that that's one of many things that you've had to pivot in these last few months. And you know, I want to take you back even before this. A lot of people pivoted when they left college. Not a lot of people went into college to go to economic development. You know, what was your pivot? You know, where did you pivot from?
It's interesting you ask that, because I'm going to even take you a little bit further back, because in high school, I was going to be a history teacher. I wanted to be a history teacher until I saw what teachers made. And then I got about my senior year, I wanted to be the sportscaster. I really wanted to get into television sports. I went to college majoring in radio and television sports, or just radio and television, I'm sorry. And because I wanted to be the guys that, at the time, they didn't have ESPN and all that stuff. So I wanted to be calling college football games and college and the pro sports. So I saw myself there. I even, as a kid, would videotape myself calling games on TV. So, and I actually worked at a local radio station going through first a community college. And then about halfway through college, I realized by happenstance, that wasn't what I wanted to do. But I can't sit there and say, I was born to be an economic developer. I just happened to fall in the industry. I got very fortunate, very, very fortunate. Do you want to know how I got into this business or what?
We'd love it. Yeah. I mean, we'd love to hear your story of kind of what made you choose economic development as a career.
I always, being a passion for history means I have a passion for government. And I always kind of joke around that when it comes to government, there's also politics. And I always say that the great thing about politics is it's the only circus that stays in town. And
that's a tweetable moment.
There you go. But anyway, I'm sorry. But what happened was I really had a bad experience with one of my radio and television advisors. He was not, I'll just say he was not good. And I left his office. I was yelling at him and he was yelling at me. And I suddenly said, I don't want to do this anymore. And I thought about it and I thought about colleges and I thought, man, some of the classes I enjoyed most were the government classes and the political science classes and the history classes. So I want to go into that. So I happened to stop by the political science department. And the guy says, of course, sure. He's an economic developer. He goes, you can always find a job with a political science degree. Well, you really couldn't. But I got really blessed because when I was in graduate school, I got an internship with a local planning agency. So that really got me into community development and economic development. And that kind of put me on my course, starting with the first job in a 4-county planning commission in rural Illinois. And then it just kind of skyrocketed and got to there. And I really, and I do have a real hard passion for economic development. I've come to love this industry. I've been into it for over 35 years.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. Well, 2020, I know we've talked a lot about it, and it's, we're 4 months removed from kind of the start of all this, but you know, not just the pandemic, we've also had a lot of issues, you know, when it comes to the social unrest and political divisiveness. You know, what's something that maybe you've learned about your leadership and maybe something that's been a challenge to you in these last 4 months? And are there any changes that you've made to, you know, your leadership?
Yeah. The one thing I've learned is no matter what you do, whether it's face-to-face or programs like this, to be successful at this, it's two things. Number one is communication. You got to be able to communicate. You know, and it's as I always tell everybody, it's not about me. It's not, let me tell you how great I am or how bad I am or what I'm doing. It's more of you get the communication involved in whoever you talk to. You know, you want them to talk about themselves because that's everybody's favorite subject. So you use it in that way to communicate in that way. It's different and it's a little bit more difficult using the virtual side because I'm one of these type of people that as you're talking, I watch you and I try to see what makes you really makes your voice raise and lower, what moves your hands, you know, and what makes your, so I can kind of play off of your body language of, okay, you really don't want to talk about that, but you want to talk about this. And these virtual meetings have been a blast. They've been great and have been a blessing, but it's harder to read body language and it's harder to misinterpret body language from that. And it's also reinforced, again, a statement I use a lot to people, but it's reinforced a lot that I've had to make changes, especially with my virtual site consult meetings, is, as I tell people, it's not what you know, and it's not who you know, it's what you know about who you know. And it's not so much that I'm trying to find dirt on somebody, but again, it's that, what makes them click? What subject matter, what topic, what gift that you can give them that they'll sit there and go, I'll talk about this. I'll get excited about this. Because we all have that. And it could be our profession. It could be our kids. It could be our hometown. It's just, you know, that's the one thing about virtual site meetings and personal site meetings is finding out what that real hot spot is for them. And then trying to figure out how you can position yourself in that hot spot one way or the other.
I've taken some notes here, and the note that I've taken is to never get into a poker game with David Leiser because he's going to read my body language and I'm never going to win a hand. So
you will win a hand. I can read body language. I can't play cards.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, you know, one of the, you know, old cliches is that hindsight's 2020, and I don't think anybody could have looked back, you know, 6 months ago and expected this to happen. But if you could have, are there things that you would have done differently maybe 6 months to a year ago if you knew something like this was going to happen?
First and foremost, you know, I just got into Wichita Falls back in December 1st. And so I was kind of learning this gig. But you know what? Even for me, who's been in this business 35 years, there's a whole lot more resources than I should have known about. And I'll even, again, Consult and Connect and everything that you guys do. I should have been more involved years ago, forget about a year ago, but years ago and things like that, because our economic development is a relationship building game. And I use that a lot in terms of you buy your car from somebody that you have a relationship with. You buy groceries from that. You buy that, you use a real estate agent from somebody you have a relationship with. So I should have used harder resources like Consult to Connect 6 months ago. And when COVID came into play and hitting us, we talk about the virtual site consultant meetings. Some had been using it before me. And again, it's just, I was so focused on getting the brand of Wichita Falls out because, you know, I had met face-to-face with probably 5 or 6 different site consultants. And the biggest issue I was getting, trying to get them over is making sure they knew that we were not that city in Kansas. You know, we are a place in Texas. We have our own assets and getting them to, you know, understand who Wichita Falls is. And I should have been more observant of those sources that I could have used and more observant of how to use them. And I would have been better prepared for COVID.
Well, I think it's great to be able to share that and share that humility, because I think that's really, you know, as leaders, what makes us stronger and more trustworthy when we can share that, you know what, hey, we missed on this, or I wish I would have known this, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's really great. So, you know, what's your, you said 35 years in economic development. What's your favorite part? I know you know, you have a passion for government and history, you know, outside of that, what's your favorite part about your job and what you do?
As silly as it sounds, I love the hunt. I love the competition. It's not so much, yeah, I like beating my competition. Everybody likes beating their competition, but it's not so much I want to call up the competition and say, I won, you lost. It's the hunt. It's the going after the big game, but it's also, and pardon me for using it in this form, but the weapons and the bullets I use for this project is totally different than the weapons and the bullets I use for another project, because every project's different. Every site consultant's different. Every topic that they focus on, again, it's getting that, you know, it's not what you know, what you know about who you know, what's those key words. So it's a blast just being a part of the hunt.
Well, I want to give you an opportunity to use some of those bullets. You know, what are some things over the last few months that your region has done that, you know, maybe kind of unique to, you know, what other communities have done, and how has it helped you to, you know, weather the storm during this pandemic and some of the other issues that our country has faced?
Yeah, that's a great question. I appreciate you bringing it up, because we as an organization have done a lot of unique things getting through this COVID. On the economic development side, I mean, again, I don't want to keep talking about the virtual site consultant meetings, but that's something we did because we had to pivot that. I mean, no matter what site consultant, I mean, even if I wanted to come and visit you guys, you would have said thank you, but no thank you. You didn't want me up in your community with COVID scare. So we had to pivot and figure out a way to tell our story. And the virtual site meetings allow that, because as you know, if I'm sitting here, you know, Mike Mollis is not going to give me a call, or Jay Garner is not going to give me a call, you know, or Dean Foote is not going to say, hey, do you have anything for me? I mean, we've got to go route reach for them. So that's helped us a lot. I've been very active on social media, especially LinkedIn and Twitter, especially LinkedIn. And I've used that a whole lot more. So again, the virtual site consult meetings we use, I put those on LinkedIn. The other thing that we did as a team, and I want to stress this was a team. This was Katie Britt, our marketing director, and Dick Bundy, who's a local architect, and Anthony Inman, who's a local contractor. We unveiled what we called everything's virtual now, a virtual site, a virtual spec building in our industrial park, where if you go to our website, and I'll tell this to my colleagues, my friends, my competitors, you can pull this off of our website. We have two videos on there of two different virtual spec buildings, one that's 30 to 60,000 square feet, one that's 60 to 120,000 square feet. But not only is it just this pretty video, but you've got all the details about the building. It'll tell you how much it'll cost you to construct that building. It gives you all of the materials and construction materials on that building, 30-foot sidewalls, 6-inch reinforced concrete floors. It talks about column spacing like it's a real building, and it will say, it will cost you this much per square foot to build this building. And we give you the time frames. So, you know, it's to me, what it's been is it kind of, to be successful in economic development, you have to differentiate yourself. And this is one of our differentiators. I've already had a couple of people who come to us to look at these buildings. I don't know if they're going to use these or not, but it started the conversation. It got it involved in that. And a couple quick other things. I want to say that I'm part of the chamber, so we do more than economic development. We have a full chamber staff, and so we've really been doing a lot of outreach. You know, working our retention person, Travis Haggard, he's been fully engaged with all of our industries and keeping them engaged with how the government can help them and not help them. Henry Florsheim has put these videos out every morning, just talking about Wichita Falls, and he kind of did it as a lark, just to talk. And now they've become really popular, where other chambers in other states are following suit with what Henry's doing and how he's using these and using these programs, to the point where I'm going to quote a politician my wife used to work for in Oklahoma, who said, you know, originality is the art of concealing your sources. And so other chambers are using what Henry has done. And so we've helped our industries, we've helped our existing industries, we've helped the site consultants, but you know what? We've helped our colleagues in economic development and in the chamber. That's something we'd be proud of.
I think what's really cool, and you mentioned this, you know, a couple of new things that you've been able to try, and I think this whole thing has given us almost it's given us the courage to try new things, knowing that, you know, if it doesn't work, that, you know, there's that at least you gave it a try to, you know, step out of your comfort zone and, you know, be unique and try new things for your community. I mean, it kind of gives you that, you know, if it didn't work, you kind of have that excuse, I guess, but I think it's given a lot of people the courage to try new things out there. So that's great.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, in the people I've led, I've always told them, if you're going to fail, if you're going to fall forward, you know.
Sure.
And I, as a flawed human being, I don't like to fail. I don't like to fall forward. I like to stand up. But you know what? It's what the other great thing about this has been. And I think, Faye, we've talked about, I think you and I talked about this. Every one of these site consultant meetings are different. In the virtual, because some have said, why didn't you have a PowerPoint? And I've had one tell me, if you show a PowerPoint, I'm closing up. I'm walking away. Mm-hmm. But the good thing about each and every one of them is at the end, I say, what have we done right? And what have they done wrong? And they've been very civil, very professional, you know, so that, as you want to say, the mistakes, if you own up to them, if you sit there and say, how can I do better? There are plenty of people out there who have the civility and the professionalism to say, let me help you out. Not just, let me tell you how stupid you are, you know? So that's been good for our whole, and I mean, not just the psych consultant, but the whole economic development family.
Love that. Mm-hmm. So David, you know, as leaders, you know, everybody seems to look to us, you know, for inspiration. So I know that, you know, your community has looked to you for, you know, words of encouragement and inspiration. And sometimes as leaders, you know, you kind of, you pour so much out, you forget to pour some back in. Is there anybody, you know, that you read, follow, you know, or look up to as inspiration to yourself that, you know, you get energy out of?
I mean, there's a lot of people I work off of, and you know, I'm one of those people that, as I say, even when I'm by myself, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I mean, there are a whole lot of really good people to work off of. And, you know, some of it, I will say, I'm a person of faith. And so obviously I rely on my Lord Jesus Christ and I work through him. But in our realm, there's a lot of good people, and I'm going to miss a whole bunch. So I apologize to them all. But, you know, one of them that really comes to mind is Kenny McDonald over at Columbus One. He's the current chair of IEDC. And with the COVID and with all the civil unrest that's going in, Kenny stepped up as the leader of IEDC. And he said, folks, we've got some problems and we need to address these problems. He didn't do it in a political way. He didn't sit there and say, this party's all right and this party's all wrong, or this group is 100% right and this group is 100%. I mean, he was trying to engage everybody. He's trying to address those problems. He's trying to make us not only a better field and a better industry, but he's trying to make a better nation. And I think, you know, Kenny has been phenomenal at this. And so there's more I could say, but honestly, if there's somebody to point to right now, it'd be Kenny McDonald in Columbus.
Oh, it's really great. We hear a lot of great things about Kenny. I know our team has done a lot with him, and we've had a chance to visit his office, and he's also built a really, really great culture down there. So I think that's a great person for anybody that, you know, is in economic development to look up to. So I'm curious, you know, we used to ask this question a lot, and you know, I think now times are a lot different, and I think people have had a chance to reflect a little bit. You know, in your mind, what does it mean to be an American right now?
You know, the great thing about America is that we adapt to change. We've made mistakes, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But yeah, we have those political or ideologues on both sides of the spectrum that are hard and fast that they will not change. But if you really take a look at what's going on, we as Americans, we as a nation, sometimes difficult, we do accept change. We understand that change takes place, and we work on that change. We've used the word pivot a lot. And I think one of the reasons why this nation has lasted well over 200 years is the fact that we're able to pivot. And sometimes the pivot we do is wrong. But again, we pivot off of that. So I will think what makes me so proud is, you know, because of we are a nation, one nation under God, but we are one nation who is united in the idea that change is going to happen. Whether you like it or not, we adapt, and we adapt well, probably better than any other nation in the world.
Well, David, that was a very inspiring message. You know, it's been a pleasure having you on today. Before we let you go, though, I got to ask, you know, when you were 16 years old and you were recording those ball games, I mean, what was your tagline? What was one of those lines that, you know, it was going to be the David Leaser line?
You know what? That's a great question. I wish I had a great answer for you, you know, because everybody had always had the better. I will tell you, the guy I loved most was Keith Jackson.
Sure.
you know, rumbling.
And, boy. Oh, Nelly.
Exactly. Oh, Nelly. So I was never innovative enough to use those lines. But boy, Keith Jackson was my idol. That ages me. I know that a lot of people listening to this are going to go to Google and try to figure out who Keith Jackson is. And just so you know, it's not the tight end from University of Oklahoma. He's this ABC announcer. But, you know, sorry, I couldn't have a better answer for that.
That's okay. We'll use Whoa Nelly. I love it.
That sounds good to me.
Well, we really appreciate you, you know, joining us today and taking some time out of your days and sharing some of the wisdom, you know, with the economic development community. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, David.
Hey, again, thank you both. I appreciate it. All right.
Awesome.
All right. David,
thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey everyone, I'm here today with Steve Jast, who is the president and founder of Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. Hey Steve, it's great to speak with you today. As one of the leading voices in investment attraction and lead generation, what has stuck out the most for you over the past few months?
Hi Faye, thanks so much for the question. First and foremost, let me say that I love the content that Consultant Connect has been generating. I'd also like to take a second to wish all of our listeners continued good health. Every day is really a new adventure. We're seeing some sad stories of industries and companies in steep, unexpected decline, and we're also seeing areas of growth and opportunity. A couple of areas that have generated significant strategic discussion center around supply chain and reshoring. To help economic developers blend these into their strategic plans moving forward, we've been providing complementary data pools and access to our Gazelle AI platform.
That's really awesome, Steve. I'm sure this data has helped many economic development organizations. Can you explain how exactly Gazelle AI helps?
Sure. Yeah, great question, Faye. Our platform includes supply chain data for over 900 industries with related company listings. We also have complete company hierarchies, meaning users can build lists of companies that have an HQ in a specific state or country with manufacturing activities in other specific countries. This is ideal for economic recovery planning, reshoring business attraction strategies, understanding local supply chains, and overall investment attraction.
Wow. Thanks, Steve. Hey, everyone, if you would like to activate your complimentary access to Gazelle AI, connect with Steve by emailing him at steve@gazelle.ai. That's steve@gazelle.ai. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Tune in again next week for more insight and relevant content to the issues impacting economic development today. America's Jobs Team podcast is sponsored by Research on Investment and Gazelle AI.